Good morning, folks. Good to see everybody out this morning. Appreciate the good crowd for Sunday school. That's a blessing. And as Jordan said, I appreciate the pretty weather. That always makes things feel better anyway. But we've been looking here in Psalm 23. You don't have to turn there just yet. We'll just springboard into the rest of the lesson. But we've come down to verse number 4 in chapter 23 of the book of Psalm. So verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So as we've moved through the passage, there's several things that we've seen. And we come down to verse 4, we find the security that we find in our shepherd. We're looking at that, specifically that last phrase, where it says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And the affirmation that we find in knowing that we have a comfort in our Savior and our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've looked at several things specifically concerning the rod there that it mentions. We've said throughout all this that rod is a symbol of strength. But as we have looked at it throughout the Scripture, what that rod does for us is it paints a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the strength that He has, and it actually symbolizes Him, Himself. And also, we've been able to parallel that with the life of Moses. And it's just so neat to look at Scripture and be able to compare Scripture to Scripture and see all the things that God's showing us through all that. And all we can do here is just sort of brush the surface, but it hopefully stimulates some thoughts for you and give you a greater desire to see what God has for us. But we've looked at the rod of the Son and the developing purpose that's there and the rod of the shepherd and the defense that it is to the predators, the servant's rod, which distinguishes between people, and the soldier's rod, which deploys protection, and the Savior's rod, which delivers the people. So we've looked at all those different things and how all of them are just different parts of who Christ is to you and I. But I guess my favorite, as we come down to the end, this one probably makes me as happy as any that there are, and that's the rod of the sovereign. And we've seen Christ through the eyes of faith. You and I, we've read the Scriptures, we've heard it preached, and if you're born again, you've saw Him as all of those things up to that point. But Brother Jerry, what we're looking for right now and looking forward to is the time when He's no longer a baby in a manger, and He's no longer a Savior that's dying on the cross, and no longer somebody that's came to serve, but He is sovereign. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And so that's what we're going to look at today, Lord willing. And so in the hands of the sovereign, what that rod does, it's a depiction of power. And we see that throughout Scripture. If you remember, if you're familiar over there in the book of Esther, it's probably as good a place to look as any. You see that any time that Esther wanted to gain an audience with the king, what did he have to do for her? He had to extend that scepter out toward her. Now, we understand, if Scripture, if you study it out, what you find is the same word for rod many places throughout Scripture is the exact same word for scepter. Yep. I mean, they're one and the same. It's just according to whose hands they're in as to what they're called. So, in the hands of the sovereign, we see it called the scepter.
Right.
And so, all that does is it depicts power. It shows the authority that king has. You can find that in Esther specifically in chapter 4, verse 11, chapter 5, verse 2, chapter 8, verse 4. You go look at that yourself. But what I'm telling you is every time she wanted to come in, Brother Kevin, she couldn't come in.
That's right.
apart from him being willing to extend that scepter toward her, granting her an audience with him. That was the authority that he had. Now, you and I really, we don't understand that form of government. I mean, we don't know what a monarchy is. I mean, really, we can look over there at Great Britain and think, well, they've got one, but, you know, it's not like this.
No.
And it's not like it's going to be one day.
Right.
And it'll be a theocracy, I guess you could say. And but anyway, we don't have an understanding. But I want to go back where we started, back to Isaiah chapter 11, and I want to remind you of this passage. As we bring everything full circle back around here, Isaiah chapter 11. And we're specifically talking about the rod there that's spoken of in Psalm 23, the actual rod of God. And it says in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Now, it's pretty clear, I think, who the Scripture is prophesying of, Brother Doug. But you notice, I mean, it starts out real small at the beginning there. I mean, it starts out, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots." But by the time you get to the very end of that passage, folks, he's ruling in righteousness. And he's the judge of all. And so that's what we see in as we pass over all these things concerning the rod. And as I've already said, that rod is, we find in Scripture, synonymous with the word scepter. And so we've been specifically looking at the life of Moses. And so, you know, the question comes, okay, well, if in the hands of Moses, that rod is being used as a picture of Christ, where do we find that Moses was ever a king or a sovereign? Well, I find it in one place. And that's found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33. And I even like what it says that he's the king of.
Oh, yes.
Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33, verse number 4, it says, "Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together." So the Bible teaches us that Moses was king. So the question is, I don't know about you, but I automatically just don't know what Jeshurun is. Not something that I'm familiar with. So you find that word 4 times in the Scripture. You find it 3 times in, I think, chapter 32 and 33 of Deuteronomy in that form, Jeshurun. And then you find it 1 more time, I think it's over maybe in the book of Isaiah, best I remember, and it drops the H. So it's like Jeshurun. But it's 4 times you find it in Scripture. Now that word Jeshurun means, it's another word, a spiritual word, so to speak, speaking of Israel. So what it's saying is he was king of Israel.
Right.
He was God's appointed ruler over Israel at that time. But now, that's not what the word literally means. Literally, the word means king of the upright.
Yep.
What a name.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that sound like? Sounds like the Lord Jesus, don't it?
Yeah.
And so if you trace that word, I don't do this much, but I had to, just for my knowledge. If you trace that word Jeshurun, Brother Kevin, and I don't do this much, Hebrew. That word comes from another root word that you find that's, I think, listed about 24 times in Scripture. 24, 26, something like that. And every time you find it, the word goes along with well, pleasing, right, direction. That's what it's talking about. And so every time you find it, it has a good connotation along with it. And it all points to the fact that Moses followed God, and he was an upright man. And now we understand that God's sovereign, and he placed Moses in that position. But what a testament to who Moses was, that God called him king of the upright. The upright. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a record when I'm done with this life, that somebody could look at my life, Brother Matt, and say, he was an upright man.
Sure.
I like that. That was just a blessing to me, that's what it had to say about Moses. But anyway, so he was king in Jeshurun. So we see Moses goes all the way from son, from the beginning, through shepherd and savior and servant and soldier, all those different things. But at the end of his life, what we find is he's the ruler over the nation of Israel. And he's appointed by God. And so Moses is king in Jeshurun. And so you say, well, Christ is king right now. Now we all understand that Christ is sovereign and he's in control. But there's a lot of things, would you agree, that don't appear that are under his control right now? Now I know they are, but he don't have them fully grasped right now. He's letting things go right now, letting the devil have his time. He's got a certain time, but there's going to be a day when he is literally ruling and reigning this thing with a rod of iron. And it's not going to look any more like it does right now. And so we're going to follow that a little bit today. So look back with me at Genesis 49. Just keep your Bibles open. Genesis 49, verse 8. He's excited about it. So Genesis 49, verse 8, it says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hands shall be in the neck of thine enemy. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. That word Shiloh means, it's a name for Christ, the Messiah. It means tranquility, means peace, calmness, till Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal under the vine, and his ass's colt under the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. So if you know your Bible, you know that Christ is the lion of what? The tribe of Judah. So we understand this is prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ. This Shiloh is speaking of him. And so it's telling us that there's going to be a day that he's going to come, and he's going to be a ruler. And it says the scepter shall not depart from Judah. In other words, the kingdom is given to him. And so this whole book from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about a king, Jerry.
Right.
And there's only one. And that king is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the king. And so from the beginning to the end, You find a king, ruling a kingdom, and it's just amazing to me that you have somebody that is sovereign as he is, that can do all that he wants to do, Brother Rick. I mean, he can make whatever happen that he wants to happen, and yet that he loves us enough that he gives each and every one of us an opportunity to choose whether or not we're going to serve him. Gives us our own free will. Gives us a space, Brother Doug, in this life to show him what we're going to do. He already knows it. He knows the end from the beginning. But what a blessing that a God like that. I mean, you think about it. If you were in that place, how many of you would just let things go and allow things to have free wills? I don't know that I could. There's times in the life of my children, Kevin, I wish I could control their wills. But I can't always do that. But God could. Y'all do understand that, right? God can intervene in this thing, Brother Donnie, just as much as he chooses to. I guess that's what amazes me about our God as much as anything, is that he can intervene, but that he chooses to allow things. And he can still take our mess-ups and our free will, the bad choices we make, and he can still sovereignly take those and make something good in the end out of it. I don't know how he can do that. I really don't. But I just trust and know that he can. And so I'm thankful for who God is. And so we see here the tribe of Judah and how the scepter is not going to depart. But now look over to Revelation with me. Revelation's chapter, or the book of the Revelation, chapter number 5. Revelation chapter 5. I told you from Genesis to Revelation. Revelation 5, verse number 4. And you know, John here is seeing this vision. And he says, "And I wept much," chapter 5, verse 4, "because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." So that's talking about the same person, Brother Adam, that God wrote about over there in the book of Genesis. Now, I know y'all, some of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy, but to me, this stuff, this is special. This is special that we have a book with all these different authors, over thousands of years written, and they can pen this stuff down and it not have a mistake. And then be talking about the same God, the same Shiloh, the same deliverer, the same shepherd in Genesis as we're talking about in Revelation. Folks, that's a blessing. That ought to give us some peace and comfort in knowing that what we are studying, what we are reading is right. And so that's what I enjoy. I like knowing that what we're chasing after, what we're going after in this life is right and it's true. And so there's going to be a day that Christ himself is going to release some judgment upon this earth. And John sees this. And I don't understand all of what's going on over there. I'm not even going to complain to or say that I do. But what I do know is that when John laid eyes on him, he knew that that was the same one that was spoken of Genesis 49.
That's right.
It said the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So that's what we know. And so look back now. Now we'll flip back. Look at Numbers 24. Numbers 24 with me. Just a lot of scripture today. Numbers chapter 24, we have Balaam's prophecy here, his prophecy of Christ. Numbers 24, verse 15. It says, "And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, And the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth out of the city. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read these things, that is not the way Christ came the first time. Do you all understand that? That Christ came to this earth, but he's not been here in this way yet. So what's he talking about? He's talking about a future day that's still to come. This is as sure, Brother John, as when he came the first time. He's coming again. And he's gonna renovate this thing. And it's going to be a different place than what it is right now. He's coming to rule and reign. And Psalm 45, verse 6, says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. See, it's all about a kingdom. It's all about a king. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me at Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm 2, verse 6. It says, Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. He's talking about the Holy Land over there, Israel. He says, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Does that sound like the Christ that we've seen so far? Not yet. Not yet. He came meek. He came lowly, and he came gentle, and he's given us a chance to trust him that way. And you better be thankful that you and I have been born in the time, Brother Jerry, that we've been born, and we get to experience the grace that we get to experience, because there's a day that it's not going to be like that. There's a day that whether you want to or whether you don't, going to bow down before the king. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather bow on this side than to wait till this time. Hey, the Jesus that I've come to know and love and trust is the Jesus that I want to know. Man, when it comes that day, I'll be glad I'm on his side. I wouldn't want to be an enemy that day. Man, that'd be a scary thing, Brother Jesse. I mean, for us that are saved, it's peace. Just to know that we're on his side. There's coming a day. And people that ain't on his side, they're going to have it rough.
That's right.
It's going to be rough. When it says a rod of iron, I believe that. I believe there's going to be some pain. I believe there's going to be some trouble for folks that are against the Lord in those days. So right now, if you're here and you're not on the Lord's side, listen, now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till then.
Right.
Don't wait till then. Don't wait till he returns in his power and in his glory. Folks, it'd be too late for people that's heard the gospel, I'm afraid. But we see him as he is, or as he's coming. And then we're not going to look at all of them, but we're going to go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Boy, that sounds a lot like some of these verses we've read. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Just so you know, if you're born again, that's you. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a what? A rod of iron. A rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Folks, he came the first time as a son, as a shepherd, as a servant, as a soldier, as a savior. I'm real thankful for all those.
Go ahead.
And a lot of people would like to just stop it right there.
That's right.
And say, that's enough. We're happy with that. But that's not where the story ends.
That's right.
That is a real short part of it. But throughout eternity in the future, he's going to come back. And he's literally going to step foot on this earth. You can go read about it. The book of Revelation teaches us he's going to step foot out there. He's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. And he's going to start ruling. And he's going to rule for 1,000 years right here on this earth. On the throne of his father, David.
Yep.
A lot of people don't believe that. But that's just what the Bible teaches. And folks, everybody in this earth is going to be subject to him.
That's right.
And we know the devil's going to be bound during that time, the Bible teaches. He's going to be in the bottomless pit. And there's going to be a day that he's loosed. He's going to gather him up an army. I don't know what he thinks. After all that he's already seen, I don't know how he thinks he's going to win at that point. But he still will, Brother Kevin, I guess. I don't understand that. And I'm okay. I'm happy to say this with y'all hearing. And if the devil's around, he can hear too. Because he's going down. And he's going to be one of those last enemies that's destroyed. And he's going to be cast into the lake of fire throughout for all of eternity. And you can find that right here in your Bible. And what peace and comfort it is to know that we can bow right now on this side. I mean, the Bible teaches us that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father, right? I mean, we all know that. Why is it so hard for people to do that, Brother Jerry? Pride. There's going to be a day everybody's going to have to lose their pride.
That's right.
And they're going to bow before the sovereign that's coming. And that don't, you know, there used to be a time, man, that's scary. And don't get me wrong, I'm still concerned for my loved ones. But according to the Scripture, guess what we'll be doing when he returns? It says if we suffer with him, we shall also what?
Reign
with him. So as he's reigning, I don't know, I might rule one little piece of dirt. I don't know what it'll be. But we just get to be heirs and joint heirs with him for all eternity.
Yeah.
And we're the bride of Christ. you're born again. And just throughout endless ages, Brother Doug, we'll just, I don't understand it all. I like it though. We sang that song, I'm on the Winning Side. You ever just let that sink in?
Yeah.
And go back out to the back of the book and think, man, I'm a winner.
Yep.
It don't always feel like we're winners, does it?
Go ahead.
But it feels pretty good when you get back there about Revelation chapter 20. Well, if you start right there in Revelation 19, it's pretty good. You just read the rest of it, and you see that there's going to be a day when all of death and hell is going to give up their dead, and he's going to cast all that into the lake of fire. That old devil, that serpent, he's getting cast away. And all we get to see is a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And, just enjoy endless bliss and splendor, all while just worshiping a king.
Hey.
The question is, are you going to make him your king now? Or do you think you're going to wait just a little bit longer? You're just going to wait a little longer. I don't know how long we've got. I mean, just any moment, the trump of God could sound, and the bride of Christ could leave this place, and then we know what's going to happen. There's going to be an Antichrist come, and he's going to set up. He's going to try to rule and reign this thing, and everybody that's going to be left that's ever heard the gospel, I believe the Scripture teaches us, will believe a lie, and they're going to be damned.
That's right.
They're going to just believe the Antichrist, and all hope's going to be gone for them. You don't want to be in that crowd.
That's right, bro.
So, if you're going to get right, now's the time. We may not have tomorrow, but I'm just glad I'm on his side.
Hey.
And I'll read one more scripture, and we'll quit right here. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. You notice, he's talking to the Son, and what does he call him?
Oh, yes.
He calls him, O God. Thy throne, O God. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Folks, he's God. And that's not actually the verse I was even looking for, but that's a good one. But it went along with my lesson. But I was actually wanting to point you to chapter 2, verse 8. But I had chapter 1, verse 8 written in my notes too. But let's start in verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6. It says, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. I said this a while back, maybe a year or two ago. But one thing that the Lord stuck out to me in this verse right here, this latter verse, verse 8, and it's just stuck in my mind, Kevin, is that things are not always as they seem.
That's right.
And so right now, we look through a glass darkly. We look out here and we think, man, sometimes we feel like the losers, don't we? I mean, I do. I look around and I think, man, there's nobody that loves the Lord. That's what it feels like sometimes. But, Brother Clark, the world just keeps getting worse and worse. But then I'm reminded, Everything's under his feet.
That's right.
It's just right now, we just don't see it that way. Our perspective's different now than what it's going to be one day.
That's right.
And I'm looking forward to the day when my perspective gets to change and I get to see everything in a different light.
Yeah.
And if you're born again, well, whether you're born again or not, you'll see it. You'll see everything under his feet, Brother
That's
Anthony,
right.
regardless either way. It's just, we can have peace in knowing if we're on his side, that he's in control. We're still battling the curse, and we're still battling sin, and all these things are still waging war against us, principalities and powers. But there's one day we're just going to win. We've already won, but we're just going to see it that way one day. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm sorry today was so slow like that, but I just felt like slowing down and going through that. But he's been manifested as son and shepherd and servant and soldier, savior. But man, soon, real soon, I believe we're going to see him as sovereign. And we're going to get to lay our eyes on him. And I appreciate everybody's good attention. I hope you've heard something over the last 3 or 4 weeks that just stimulated some thought as we look at the story of the rod and how that depicts the life of Christ and what one of these days we're going to get to see. And I'm assuming we're about up with time. What time is it? Yeah, so we're at time. So I won't get into the staff. But next week, Lord willing, we'll start looking at the staff. So I appreciate everybody's good attention. We'll have prayer for anyone that wants to pray back through there in the rooms.